morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to kick this off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
What do you have, boss? Welcome to the Mac City Morning Show.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Noral Toyota. We support the Oil Barons. We've joined the drive-in movie theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and that's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
All right, and we're back. Big shout out to Noral Toyota, Keith, Fad, Nimmer, all the boys and girls down at Noral Toyota for being our title sponsor. We do appreciate it, so thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, on with the show. We have a guest. As you know, I don't introduce my guests. You all met her before. This is her third time here. So I'll let her reintroduce herself to you guys.
Thank you very much. I feel like I'm really taking over your show here at this
point. That's all right.
Michelle Ansiedel, and in this space and time, just community advocate and citizen.
Yeah, so you're just coming to hang out and chat with us this time.
I am.
Which I'm pumped about, because there's like a more of a conversation that we can have that's not directed in one thing, which is politics and what your platform is and everything else. So we get to learn more about the individual.
Well, I feel like we've had so much fun just kind of hanging and so much like pre and post show. We might as well just get it on camera.
That's right. Well, that's the thing I think a lot of people, and we should start charging for that, Tanner. Like,
but not me.
Yeah, not you. Yeah. So many people like hang out afterwards and just like chat with us.
Start an after hours club.
That's right.
Mm. Yeah, and Mac so, City Afterlight.
That's right. Like that's right. That. After so, dark. Yeah, we chat for hours afterwards with guests. Yeah. And like that's a lot of fun stuff. So we actually just started, myself and Tanner, we do a YouTube episode every Friday.
Oh, now. I'm subscribed. You can
there
even
we
fact
go.
Check
hey.
Me.
Everybody else,
you guys, you told me if I'm not subscribed that I can't watch your special Friday feature.
That's
where it's just the two of you rattling off. So.
Which we talked about doing since day one.
Yeah,
but we just had so many guests that were like, well, it'll, and then we just got to the point of saying, well, you know what, we want to do it, so we're just going to do it.
Yeah, I highly recommend anyone not already subscribed. It's a good time just watching these two banter back and forth.
Yeah,
actually, you just watch Elliot. You hear me.
You hear Tanner.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So. Elections are done.
Elections are done.
And so now what are you going to do with your free time? Because that's time consuming, to say the least. Mentally, too.
The municipal election definitely took up space and time. The provincial election took up probably more like, it's the right word, like more like ego time. Like I was more concerned about how I was presenting and if I was doing the work and, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, I had so many important, incredible people invest time in me during the provincial election that I just wanted to make sure that I was as all in as I could be. So, but the municipal and the provincial campaigns went the same for me insofar as I didn't win. so there's that.
Yeah.
But also, I didn't have enough time. And so that, you know, space of having the months and months of preparation to get out and to have those difficult conversations and to do the door knocking, which apparently is still super important.
Super important. You got to do it.
It's horrible.
You got to do it.
Yeah, actually, I will. So we did some door knocking. I did it. I did. I figured if the party leader was going to be up here knocking on doors, the least I could do is wander around behind him. So. I did it and it wasn't terrible. No. I had some really great experiences. I had some really weird experiences.
Yeah.
I do have to ask what goes through people's minds when they answer the door sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I was the unsolicited guest. So hey man, it's your house.
It's your house. You can do what you want.
Everything's over now though. It's come to a close for now.
Yeah.
And I'm just first and foremost enjoying getting back into work, because with everybody returning to work now, things are just, the dynamic is changing. The job hasn't changed. I've been doing the same role here for almost 2 years now, and I have spent a lot of time on site interacting with humans.
Right.
But I'm starting to see some more of the like functional support roles coming back to site. And so,
which is sweet.
You know, coworkers that have been like family for the last decade of my life, I'm starting to actually see in the hallways and that kind of thing. And that's been really exciting. But I also acknowledge and recognize how much stress that's putting on people. So I'm trying not to like revel in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's going to be a hard thing. Like people got accustomed to like doing their thing from home, and some people liked it, some people didn't, like whatever it is. But then when you have to change, is hard for people.
Change is so hard for people at literally every level of everything that we do. And I have learned that so much over the last couple of years. I would say definitely over the last year. I love change.
Okay.
I'm like, bring it on. Let's do everything different every day. It's so scary and exciting. And I just want that kind of, I don't know, like challenge in my life all the time. And I'm really grateful for my husband who is like anti-change. And as a result of that, we hit this happy medium.
That's right.
Balance. But I have become increasingly more aware of how uncomfortable change is for people around me. And
that's right.
I mean, you were in HR. Like, I'm sure that you did work around the concept of like, change management and what good change management looks like and what bad change management looks like and that valley of despair that so many people get stuck in.
Yeah.
I think that we've had a couple of years of really bad change management. That's right. So
All you can do is listen to people is what it comes down to. And nobody's right nor wrong in how they feel. It's how they feel. You can't tell them this is stupid or you're right or you're wrong. You just have to listen to it. And what I find more often than not is that's literally all people want.
Yes.
Is just to be listened to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they want solutions at times, but I think that the more you listen to them, the more likely they are to help engage in the solution.
That's right. Well, I was just going to say, they figure it out.
Yeah.
If you just sit there and, like, let them talk and just, like, don't give solutions right off the bat, and you just, like, they come to the conclusion kind of on their own, and sometimes they're not, it's not one size fits all. Sometimes something that 100% works for me may not work for yourself, right?
So and sometimes people like to start with really big ideas that you already know, you both know going into the conversation will not be the outcome and will not be the solution. But as long as they know that you're willing to work with them, to hear them, acknowledge why they want that big solution and why it's not going to work in the current situation, there's always this like space of, I don't like to say compromise. I think compromise is such a lose-lose term.
Mm-hmm.
But this, like, cool synergy that you build in finding the solution that actually works.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. So with this downtime you have now.
Yeah.
Do you watch TV?
I do. I do. Okay. I have
cable or are you streamer?
I am both.
Okay.
Yeah, I am both. When I say, like, I do, it's not like, I do, like, a little.
Yeah.
I don't sleep a lot. I'm not a big sleeper, so.
It's overrated.
It really is, honestly. Like, I feel like a pretty functioning human. So, you know, for the 6 or 7 hours that my partner is asleep and the dogs are asleep and the house is quiet, I tend to watch all of my shows.
Okay. So what are your shows?
I watch everything. Okay, so right now, the shows that we watch on repeat consistently every week. So my husband and I are both big, big brother fans. So we watch all of them, Celebrity, the U.S.
Oh, that's a time investment. Okay.
Yeah, Canada.
Yeah.
So that takes up some time. We also both watch Survivor. So that just started a new one. So we've got kind of those things that we watch together. And then there's Ozark, which we love.
Yeah.
Of course, we jumped on the bandwagon with everybody else for the... 1884.
The Western show? Are we talking about Yellowknife?
Yellowknife.
I haven't jumped on that bandwagon yet. Okay.
I recommend it. It's actually really fantastic. As somebody who watches a lot of TV, I don't think it's...
You guys mean Yellowstone?
Yellowstone. Yes.
Yeah.
What do we call it? Yellowknife?
Shout out to Yellowknife.
Yeah. Whoa, yeah, we're good Canadians.
I feel like that's like the Canadian version. Like, you know how you have like American like Idol, Canadian Idol?
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Like a Yellowstone and then a Yellowknife.
That's hilarious.
I got Tanner's here.
Okay. Okay.
And then, yeah, like, I watch the same basic stuff that everybody watches, the Grey's Anatomy. Like, I'm a big Shonda Land fan, so I watch all of her stuff. And
I just saw on, because I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, but I have CTV on my computer because I watch MTV because I'm a child. But one of the
YTV
ads
would make you a child.
Yeah, YTV. Hey, listen, I watch YTV sometimes too.
No, you should hear the shows he watches on MTV. That's what makes him the child.
Yeah, that's right.
Good to know.
But the guy from Felicity is coming on to Grey's Anatomy.
Scott Freeman.
Yeah,
Scott,
I don't know
Scott
if it's
Speedway. Speedman.
Yeah,
Speedman?
I think something like that. Scott something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on Animal Kingdom, and then back in the day, he was
so
on Felicity.
Yeah, he's been on this whole season.
Okay.
He's Meredith. It's like Paramore.
What is?
So he was on quite a while ago. He played a character that needed a liver transplant.
Yeah.
And Meredith, being a general surgeon, I way too invested in.
Yeah.
This
hey,
show.
Listen. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, no, he's on and he's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's Canadian.
He's fantastic.
He's Canadian.
Felicity
actor.
Was a baller show. I love that show.
I might own the box set.
Yeah.
Of Felicity. That's how old I am, dating myself.
No,
yes,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I have all of the DVDs, all seasons, Felicity.
He's gonna hate me for this.
Huge fan.
But my husband, one of the only things that he brought into like our long standing like videography, the things that we keep.
Right.
Like, to be clear, my husband brought everything into our relationship.
And right.
One thing that he's kind of lived in posterity is our Dawson's Creek.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's another good show. I never was able, like, it just got to the point, I never watched the last few seasons when they moved away and got into, like, the college world.
Yeah.
But the first, like, 2-3 seasons of Dawson's Creek,
it was
they're bangers.
Really good, but I gotta tell you, like, looking back at it now, super toxic.
Oh, of course.
So
when you
toxic.
Go, when you look back on tons of stuff, like,
yeah.
I can't even, like,
how did
yeah.
we let our children, wait.
My favorite is any of the Jackass movies.
Oh,
oh
yeah,
oh,
or even like,
what?
I don't know, like you can't watch it anymore on Disney Plus. But I was watching Peter Pan with my little boy, and I was like, "Oh man, this is some racist stuff!"
Right.
Like it got to the point where I like
Does
I just
not
was
age
like,
well.
"Oh no!"
Airplane, another classic movie.
Yeah,
that
airplane.
Is yeah.
What's Airplane.
Wait, excuse me.
Yeah, Airplane. You've never seen Airplane?
Sorry, excuse me. I'm just gonna let myself.
Yeah, that's a classic.
That okay. is the like. Oh,
you gotta go home and watch Airplane.
Yeah, that is a that is like the start of spoof movies.
Right.
So or like okay. scary movies or
yep.
any of those kinds.
I
kind
hate
of,
all those movies.
Well,
yeah,
like,
you won't hate Airplane.
It's impossible to hate Airplane.
It is a cult classic.
Or another one that I used to watch as a child, which I just recently rewatched, is Bad News Bears. Not the one with. Not the reboot version of it,
okay.
but the original Bad News Bears.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know that was a show. It's just something that
oh,
I
it's
hear
a movie.
Perry say when he's about to deliver.
It's a movie
news.
About these
okay.
like kids who don't have a shot of winning. They're a bunch of, like, their words, not mine, losers. You're not allowed to use that word anymore. I guess it's a curse, so I've been
I'm
informed.
Sure you're still allowed to use
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Are you not allowed to use it?
No, so not in schools. No.
I feel like that's what losers say.
Yeah, I was watching, this is how it swung so far, that I was watching this baking show with my son,
yep.
and he just turned it off. He's like, yeah, we can't watch the show anymore. They're cursing too much in it. And I was just like, I didn't hear them say any curse words. He's like, they said the D word. And I was like, I don't know any D words I'd be using a cooking show that are curse words. He's like, I was like, tell me what D word it is. And he's like, I'm not saying it. And so we rewound, and he's like, just press play. They said damn a few times.
Oh,
and I was just like,
word?
You can't use that word at school. He's like, no, of course not, Dad. I'm like,
oh, man.
Well, so, but yeah, Bad News Bears is a bunch of, like, loser kids. Okay. And then they're horrible at the sport. And they have this coach who gets them to be better.
Oh, okay. So it's like the Mighty Ducks, but like old.
That's
people.
Right. Okay. But it's made in, like.
And baseball.
And baseball, yeah.
Gotcha.
But to say this is extremely, like, bullying, cruel, and racist is an understatement. But
yeah.
I strongly recommend it to anybody who wants a good
like,
laugh.
There's like that whole like message that I hear all the time when people are being canceled is like,
yeah.
you know, you can't necessarily judge a person for the actions that they took in a space where it was acceptable. And I don't...
That's right.
I think that's never really been the problem. I think the problem is when people double down on not acknowledging the bad behavior and
right.
why it took place and like...
That's right.
The harmfulness of it.
Yeah.
But man, there are just so many things, especially in the Disney space, that just
oh yeah
have not aged well.
No.
Right?
No.
And but I mean, I would say, you know, the same can be said for every human that I know, every human in politics.
That's right.
Like
yeah.
we are creatures of the culture around us. That's and right. when the culture around us is...
It is what it
oppressive,
is.
Oppressive, which that's right. it always has been.
You just roll with
you know?
It.
It's yeah. a matter of that, like... Continued growth and
not Ellie Pierre though. There's no, there's been no struggle or repression there, has there?
No. Just what's the word that we use?
Privilege.
Privilege.
Oh, you
here.
Know, I was having okay. This is like it's like we're gonna go from bad news bears to just. So I don't know. Okay, I don't know where you guys live in this space, but I know for myself, I spent. You know, the better part of my early life and well into just the last couple of years being like, I had a hard life growing up. I've overcome some things. I'm,
right.
you know, living proof that you don't necessarily have to be a statistic.
Okay.
And I've lived in this space where I kind of always, I guess, ponied off of being a member of an oppressed group. Like I'm
okay.
a woman. And oh. so as a woman, you know, I have absolutely had to struggle with spaces of misogyny and it does inform a lot of the things that I do even today.
Right.
But I came to this like realization about a year and a half ago. And it was this like crumbling moment for me where I went and woke my husband up and had to share this with him. He hates it when I do this. But it was just this like space where I started to recognize that all of this hard stuff that I had dealt with, or that I'm still dealing with, never like actually it was never as bad as it could have been had I not been granted privilege,
right?
And the privilege of just being a white woman,
yeah,
in Canada.
That's right.
Like the combination of those things. And
that's
then
right.
and then I started to like really spiral into the fact that because I'm a doer, like it's so important to me to just be a part of change and just influence people's lives being better, and that's the only thing I've ever wanted in my entire life. And then I realized, well, I've spent, you know, the better part of my adult life thinking that because I was a member of this oppressed group that the only like work that I had to do was in the advancement of that particular system of oppression.
Oh.
And
yeah.
then I realized that there was all of these other ones
right.
that I was so useless in.
That's right.
And had done nothing for. And so I, you know, fast forward about a year and a half and I'm sitting here now in 2022 and I'm just utterly spiraling, almost catatonic in like a lack of action for all of these other
right.
massive movements that
that's
I just
right.
want to be a part of but have no idea yeah. how to start.
Just got to pick one. Just pick one.
And Ellie you know, is in like, none of them.
Yeah.
how do you pick
facts.
One?
Well, here, this is like this is a bad analogy that I'm going to give. It's a horrible analogy for what we're talking about. But I heard it, yeah, just like, I'm going to get booed.
Well,
in the
it anyways.
I'm going to say it anyways. But there was this.
Well, you get to choose if you air it or not.
That's right. Oh, I air everything.
Nope, that's me, actually.
That's right. But there's this chef talking about right now in the pandemic and restaurants going out and like everybody wants to like help their local business, maybe a restaurant or like the corner store or whatever. Yeah. And he was saying like from a food perspective, like pick your top three restaurants.
Yeah.
And only support those three because like you're focused on those three will help them survive. Yes, some will die, but if you're trying to spend your money on everybody, there's not enough
yes.
to go around. And so I would say, once again, horrible analogy, but there's a lot of oppression that goes on and there's a lot of groups
yeah.
and what you just stated in regards to like I find myself doing nothing because I'm just like stunned with all of it. It's like,
yeah,
because there's so much. But if you picked your top three and or one and just like, you might be able to affect some change.
That, I mean, that is the goal.
There you
it's,
go.
I'm waiting for the cue because I
yeah.
know we're getting to that time.
That's right.
I'm like, I don't
yeah,
want
Ted, you don't, that, that's, yeah.
Oh,
well, that's what I was about to say.
The cue has been made.
The cue's been made. So we're going to get off this topic because Tanner's just going to make fun of me if we stick on it. But this segment is brought to you by McMurray Denture Center. So if you need to have a beautiful smile, maybe some false teeth, maybe somebody knocked out your tooth, maybe you're just getting older, maybe you're grinding on your teeth, McMurray Denture Center can hook you up. So thank you to McMurray Denture Center for sponsoring this segment. They're one of my favorite sponsors because I get like freestyle when I talk about them. So they sponsor the Max City Minute. So Tanner, hit her with the Max City Minute.
Alrighty, question number one. If you could ask any one television character a question, what would that question be and to whom would it be to?
So random.
Do this to me. I listen so to random. Everybody else's questions, and I'm like, I could answer that.
Yeah.
It's of course, because you're watching it. You're not sitting there waiting.
That's right.
Okay. One television character, one question, and what would I ask them?
Yeah.
I feel like I would ask so many people so many questions. I would ask Dr. House why it took him so long to realize that he had his own demons when his whole entire job was like reflection and problem solving. Hmm. Yes.
That's the best question you've ever asked, in my opinion, but go on.
Thank
hey,
you.
So we just roll it back to the animal question yeah. you asked me last time?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Question number two. If you could be on any game show, what would that be and why?
Oh, I want to be on every game show. I love game shows. Right now, I would love to be on, I think it's called Beat Shazam, with Jamie Foxx and his daughter.
Oh.
And why? Because I'm so bad at music, and yet when I watch that show, I'm really good at it. So I don't know if it's just their genres or...
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I could totally win some money there. Or maybe Jeopardy, but like, I'm not... I just don't have enough like tacit knowledge for Jeopardy, so...
I would like to see Jeopardy with three people who have never seen Jeopardy.
Yeah. They'd be like, what is going on here?
And why is it happening?
Yeah.
Question number three. What is one thing you'll use from politics that you can use in your day-to-day job?
I mean, there's so many things in the space of being political, of being a politically active person that transferred to everything about real life. But I would say probably the biggest one is just this like innate skill that I seem to have at losing and losing really publicly. And I think that that translates back into being able to like humbly acknowledge that I was wrong or that I didn't do something well or right or whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
Question number four. What is your favorite part of being able to see people out and about at work again?
Oh, man. So, and I don't know if it's the same for every industry. I don't know if it's the same for every workplace. But where I work, we spend the better part, in a normal year, we spend the better part of 12 to 14 hours a day with the same people. And so... you really lose that sense of family, that sense of connection through in the virtual workspace, which I love and I'm grateful for. But man, do I ever just wish like I missed so badly the smiling faces when you accidentally ran into each other in the hallway on the way to the bathroom and the conversations and the problem solving and the collaboration and the innovation that that turns into.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
And your final question. What is your favorite part of being a three-peat guest on the Max City Morning Show?
Oh, I just feel like our conversations get a little more like random and wild and fun every single time I come in. So I'm looking forward to the quattro for sure.
You're welcome.
There you go.
And those have been your five questions.
That's awesome. Those are some of your best questions, bro.
Thank you. I tried my best.
Food for thought. Because I wanted to answer all of those. I had like really good answers for all of them personally. When we do one of our YouTube episodes, you should just like rattle off some Max City Minute questions.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can can get into my meditative state and come up with some ideas.
That's right. Okay.
Is that what you're doing in the background while we're talking?
No, I meditate before. I wouldn't be able to do my work while meditating.
Well, listen, Tanner hit me with the watch signal a while ago. So unfortunately for everybody else at home, this is going to continue in regards to the conversation. But we're going to turn off the cameras because I know we've blown by the 20 minutes. But before you leave, you get a shameless shout out or plug. So mics, lights, cameras are on you. So have fun.
I don't have anything to plug. So my shameless shout out is going to go to a group of people who put on an amazing event this weekend. I just had the opportunity to be a part of it. I traded a couple hours of sweat labor for just an evening full of inspiration and kindness and beauty. So to the Balsam team at Balsam Communications, to Nanase and her team at Girls Inc., to Helen, our very Mary Poppins, who's just this, like the most incredible woman, to all of you for the Women of Inspiration Gala this weekend. Thank you so much for that space of just, I don't know, just energy. Like the vibe in that conference room, the vibe across the five women that were nominated, the panel session. If you get a chance to watch the panel session, I'm assuming that it was live streamed, so it's probably on YouTube somewhere. The keynote speaker, my God, this woman was everything you want in a keynote speaker. So my shout out is going to be to that team for bringing an amazing event back to Fort McMurray.
There we go. Good shout out. Well, thanks for coming. I know you'll come back again.
Yes.
So everybody at home, thanks for tuning in. Big shout out to our sponsors, key sponsor, Noral Toyota, title sponsor. Thank you so much. And to McMurray Denture Center. I just like coming up with creative things to talk to about you guys about. So thank you for both those sponsors. We do appreciate the support. Everybody else, hopefully you're having a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hey guys, Karam here with McMurray Denture Center. A lot of people are surprised to hear this, but I'm born and raised here. So is this company. We're local. Just like you. Come on in, we'll help you out.
What a deadly old way to end another morning show. Later, boss.
It's so ballistic!
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.